Okay, good morning and good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasra Daf Kuf Yud Tes. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Chesam Veiz. We are at Ditanya, toward the end of the page. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page. Ditanya, today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lil Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Natzach for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to quote a brisa that shows, based on the Pesukim, that the Bnos Slavcha not only got the portion of their father and their grandfather, but also of an uncle, that there was at least one uncle, perhaps two, that died without any children, and that they got the portion of Yerusha from that uncle as well, as we were discussing yesterday. But now we're going to have a brisa to prove that point. Then the Gemara is going to tell us about the children of the Meraglim and the Misonanim. We had said in the Brisa that the children of the Meraglim and the Misonanim didn't get a Yerusha from the Meraglim and the Misonanim, because they didn't get a Yerusha. The Meraglim, and perhaps the Misonanim as well, their Yerusha went to Yoshua and Kalev. But so their children got their grandparents' chelik of the Yerusha, so we're going to discuss that as well. Then the Gemara is going to get into the concept that the Bnos Slavchad actually got Slavchad's Pishnayim. They didn't just get Slavchad's Yerusha, but they actually got the fact that Slavchad was a Bechar. They got the Pishnayim that was Magia to Slavchad. So the Gemara is going to discuss why that would be the case, and it's going to get into the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Israel muchzekes, that normally a Bukhar does not get Pishnayim Bera'oi Kibba Muchzuk, but Tzlavchad never had the actual piece of Eretz Yisrael. He never went into Eretz Yisrael, but even though it was only Ra'oi, it was only that which was Ra'oi to come to him, it's treated as if it was already Muchzuk Biyado. So the Gemara is going to discuss that concept in some detail. Then the Gemara is going to get into more details of the exact story that happened with the conversation with Bnos Slavchad, and then the Gemara is going to tell us a little more biographical information about the greatness of these Bnos Slavchad, about what was so wonderful about them in general. So let's begin Ditanya, 5 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Kuf Yud Chesam Beis. So Ditanya, we have a brisa that darshins the pasuk that describes Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu asked what to do with the Bnos Slavchad. Just to get it out there, the pasuk says, "Kain Bnos Slavchad Dovros," as they speak, meaning as they've said, "Nason Titein Lahem Achuzas Nachla B'toch Achei Aviem," you should give them a Yerusha among the brothers of their father, "Vavarta Es Nachlas Aviem Lahen," and you should pass on their father's Yerusha to them. So that's a little bit of an arichus, meaning all HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say is, "Yinchalu Bnos Slavchad, let Bnos Slavchad get a Yerusha." Why does he have to go to such length to describe that they're going to get Yerusha? So the Brisa says it must be that each phrase of this pasuk is telling me about a different chelek of Yerusha that the Bnos Slavchad are going to get. Nason titein lahem zo nachla savien. That already tells me that they get the nachla of Slavchad, that they get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael together with the Yotzei Mitzrayim that Slavchad was supposed to get, because he was one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So they are omed b'makomo, and they get that chelek. And then it says, "Toch achei avihen, zo nachlas avi avihen," that whatever they get together with their father's brothers, that's the nachla of their grandfather, because their grandfather was also miyotze Mitzrayim. Slavchad's father left Mitzrayim, and anyone who left Mitzrayim had a chelek, and therefore that chelek would be passed down to his children. So the other brothers who were still alive when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the Bnos Slavchad taking the place of Slavchad, share the grandfather Chefer's Yerusha. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Va'avartas nachlas avian lahen zo chelek b'chora," that there was one chelek of Yerusha that was limited to their father, that the father's brothers have nothing to do with, and that nobody else had anything to do with. and that is the chelak b'chora that Slavchad was entitled to as the b'chor of Chefer. So the daughters get that chelak b'chora as well. They get that pishnayim. So those are three chalakim of Yerusha that the b'nos Slavchad get. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, av chelak achi aviyem natlu, that not only that, there's a fourth chelak of Yerusha, namely that which was that which belonged to Slavchad's brother, who was also one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but he died in the Midbar without leaving any children. So Memela went to his brother's children. So the Benos Slavchad got that. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Pasuk, it says, Nason Titain. So to teach us that they got the Chelik Aviyah, and it could have just written Nason or Titain, but the fact that it says Nason Titain, a double Lashon, so we darshan that they got the Chelik of Achi Aviyah as well, of their father's brother as well. Tanakama also must hold that they, meaning even though Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that introduces this idea, Tanakama must also hold this way, like the Gemara had already said from the Pasuk in Yoshua, that the Shevet Menashe got 10 Chalakim Ba'aretz, and the math only works out if there is if the Benos Slavchad got a Chelek of Achi Avihen. The Tanakama just didn't want to darshan it from the Son Titain, because he held that sometimes a double expression is not meant to be darshan, that there is a concept of dibra Torah kalashon b'nei adam, that sometimes the Torah speaks in double expressions because people speak in double expressions, and the Torah is speaking a language that we're supposed to understand. So maybe it's not ripe for a drasha. We do have such a machlokas throughout Shas, whether dibra Torah b'lashon b'nei adam or lo dibra Torah b'lashon b'nei adam. Can you darshan a kefel lashon? So everyone agrees to the fact that the Benos Slavchad received the chelik Yerusha from their father's brother who died without having any children. The question is, can you darshan it from Nason Titain? If you don't darshan it from Nason Titain, then you would darshan it from Achuzas Nachla, as we're going to soon see, that according to the Shita, that Eretz Yisrael was divided Labai Ha'aretz, so that's where we're going to darshan it from. So that's how the Rashbam explains. So now, says the Gemara, Ulamandi Amar Trei Achi De'Aba Havaluhu, and according to the opinion that it wasn't just one uncle who had died without any children, that the Benos Slavchad yarshined that uncle's estate, but there were actually two brothers that the Benos Slavchad were yarshining, meaning according to Rabbi Yonasan, like we just said in the Gemara yesterday, at the end of yesterday's shir, that Labai Ha'aretz Nischalka Ha'aretz, and therefore they got Yerushas of two uncles, Hahu Me'achuzas Nachla Nafka. That's derived from Achuzas Nachla. That's the pasuk that teaches me that they got the portion of an additional brother. So the Gemara says, and what does the pasuk mean when it says Ve'yiplu Chavle Menashe Asara Va'amle Rav Papa La Abaye? So Rav Papa says to Abaye, Kra, the pasuk that goes through the chalakim of the Bnei Menashe in Eretz Yisrael, my kachashiv, what is it counting in its number? Eat falim kachashiv. If it's counting all of the chalakim that the Bnei Hashevet took in Eretz Yisrael, and even that which the young people took, so that's difficult because tuva havu, there were many, it wasn't just 10. And I batei avos kachashiv, and if it's only counting that which the batei ha'av took, meaning the heads of families, which were the Bnei Menashe himself, Menashe's own children, well then Shita Havu, then it was only 6, it wouldn't be 10, because you're only counting the Rashi Mishpachos, you don't count the Benos Slavchad, the Chalakim of the Benos Slavchad separately, because they're all part of Chefer. Chefer is one of the 6, the 6 Bnei Menashe, so that wouldn't track. So how do we arrive at the number 10? It's either 6, or you count all the Enoklach, right? You count everybody, and it's going to be way more than 6. So it says, well, the Olam Batei Avos Kachashiv. Really, we're only counting the Batei Avos. And really, it should have only been 6 Chalakim, like the number of the Batei Avos. V'hakam Hashmalan. But by telling us about these additional 4 Chalakim that the Benos Slavchad took, the Pasuk is teaching me to Benos Slavchad not to Chelek Bechora, that the Benos Slavchad also got the Chelek Bechora in Chefer's Yerusha through their father, Slavchad, who was a Bechor, meaning when Chefer died and he left the Yerusha, so his Bechor was entitled to get Pishnayim. So the Pasuk in Yeshua is telling me to darshan the Pasuk in the Torah of Ahavarta, Tanta to teach me that Panos Slavchan got a chelek b'chora of Slavchan in the Nachla of Chefer, exactly what we just read in the Brisa. But the pasuk in Yoshua is sort of giving us a wink to tell us you got to darshan it. So find the pasuk in the Torah, and therefore we know to darshan that pasuk in the Torah that way, that the Panos Slavchan got a chelek b'chora as well. Alma, and from the fact that the Panos Slavchan got a chelek b'chora, what you see from there is that Eretz Yisrael muchzakasi, that Eretz Yisrael was considered to be already in the hands of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. It's as if the Nachla of Chefer wasn't just something that Chefer was promised at some distant date in the future. It's as if he had it in hand already, that the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael was already muchzakas, and therefore it's Slavchad and his daughters who yarshined him get that chelek b'chora, and we don't say that it's only ro'i and it's not muchzak. That generally speaking, the rule is ein b'chor notal pishnayim, but ro'i could be muchzak. A b'chor doesn't get pishnayim in that which the father is going to one day get, but never actually got. He only gets pishnayim in that which the father actually got, and this is considered that he actually had it. Eretz Yisrael muchzakasi. That's the concept of Eretz Yisrael muchzakasi. So now the Gemara explains the brisa. So the brisa said Amar Mar v'habanim with the Brisa, the original Brisa from Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, had said Va'abanim, that the children of the Meraglim and the Misonanim, who did not get a chelek of their father's Yerusha, because their father's Yerusha either didn't exist or was diverted to Yoshua and Kalev, so what did they get? What did the children of the Meraglim and the Misonanim get? Natlu b'zchus avi aviyam. They got a chelek in Eretz Yisrael from their grandparents, if their grandparents were in fact Yotzei Mitzrayim, meaning if the Nachla was divided to Yotzei Mitzrayim and their father's father was among the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so they didn't get their father's chelek. Their father was also in the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but then turned out to be one of the Meraglim, so they didn't get their father's chelek, but they got their father's chelek. And that's the or their mother's father's chelek, if their mother's father didn't have any sons and only had daughters. So their mother's father, if he only had daughters, would be morish to his daughters, and they in turn would be morish to their children. They weren't the Meraglim, it was their good-for-nothing husbands who were the Meraglim. So that, they weren't the Mesonim, so therefore they were able to pass on the Yerusha to their children. So Frakta Gemara Vatanya, but we have another Brisa that says that the children of the Meraglim and the Misonim got Bizchus Atzman, that they got in their own Zuchus. So it says Mar Lo Kasha. How commander Melot Mitzrayim, how commander Melubay Aretz? That's the simple machlokas that we had, that the Brisa that says that they got the chelek of their grandfathers, but not in their own, they didn't get their own chelek. That's assuming, like Rabbi Yoshia, that Eretz Yisrael is divided up among the Yotzei Mitzrayim and not among the Baye Aretz. So these people who went into Eretz Yisrael but were not among the Yotzei Mitzrayim, meaning they might have been among the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but they weren't 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim. Anyone who was 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim died in the Midbar, so they were not among the 20-year-olds that were Yotzei Mitzrayim. So they didn't get a chelek on their own, but their grandfathers did, because their grandfathers were over 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim, so they were able to yarshin that. And the Brisa that says that they got their own chelek is command Yom L'Baye Aretz, assumes like Rabbi Yonah's son, who holds that Eretz soul was divided among the Baye Aretz, so the as long as they were 20 years old when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they do in fact have their own chelek, and they do not have a chelek of the grandfather, because the grandfathers were not among the Baye Aretz, because the grandfathers were over 20 when they left Mitzrayim, and all of those people died. Now the Brisa that we quoted on Kuf Yud Zayin said that the chelek of the Meraglim was given to Yoshua and Kalev. The chelek of the Misonim was given to the people from their Shevet. So the Brisa then said that the children of those who took a chelek, that their children took a chelek of those of their grandparents. So that lechora doesn't fit the sheet of Rabbi Yonah's son, who holds that Labaya Aretz Niskal Kal Aretz, because according to Rabbi Yonah's son, they didn't get the Yotzei Mitzrayim didn't get any chelek because they died in the Midbar. So how can the Brisa say that Yoshua and Kalev took the chelek of the Meraglim. So the way the Gemara is answering this Brisa, it's saying it's going like Rabbi Yoshia. But the second Brisa, it says that the children of the Meraglim and the Sodanim got a chelik baritz b'schus atzman, that could possibly be according to Rabbi Yonasan. So that's how all of the Brisos work out. Another possibility of how to reconcile the Brisos, v'iba yaseima, or havaha l'baya aretz. Maybe both Brisos assume that Eretz Yisrael was divided among only the baya aretz and not the yotzei Mitzrayim, but v'lo kasha. Ha, the Hava ben Eshim, ha, the law of ben Eshim. The Brisa that says that they got Bizchos Atzmam assumes that they were 20 years old when they entered Eretz Yisrael. So they had their own chelek in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't get a chelek from the grandparents because we're assuming, like Rabbi Yonasan, that only Labaya Aretz, Eretz Yisrael was only divided up Labaya Aretz. But the Brisa that says that they got in the Bizchos of their grandparents and not Bizchos Atzmam is assuming that they were not yet 20 years old when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore they don't have their own chelek. But the zchus of their grandfathers who left Mitzrayim when they were 20 years old, that they do get. So then you'd have to say that the Brisa is talking about the grandchildren of the Meraglim and the Mesonim, not the children themselves of the Meraglim and the Mesonim, because the Maisa Meraglim was in the second year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Maisa Korach was right after that. And we said the Mesonim are the people that followed Korach, so the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael only after 40 years in the Midbar. So their children were at least 38 years old when they entered Eretz Yisrael, because they died, so they wouldn't have been able to have children. So the children would have had to have been at least 38 years old. So you have to say we're talking about the grandchildren of the Meraglim and the Mesonim, because their father and their fathers must have died in the Midbar. So the young children don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael through their fathers, because their fathers were not among the Bayi Haaretz nor among the Yotzei Mitzrayim. From their grandfathers, the Meraglim and the Sodanim, they don't have a chelek because they lost their chelek, and therefore they only got a chelek from their great grandfathers, right? From the parents of the Meraglim and the Sodanim, if they were among the Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's how the Rashbam explains over here. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses Vishayu Bechor Notel Pishnayim, that since Lavchad was a Bechor, his daughters got a Pishnayim. They got a second chelik of Yerusha as well, taking the place of their father. So ask the Gemara, Va'amai, why should the chelik b'chora of Slavchad be passed on to his daughters? It's only something that was ra'ui to one day come to Slavchad, but he never actually had it. Ve'ina b'chor notel b'ra'iku b'muchzuk. And the rule is that a b'chor does not take b'ra'iku b'muchzuk. A b'chor gets pishnayim only in that which the father already had possession of, not which the father was one day going to be destined to have possession of. So Rabbi Shmuel, b'yistos o'alim, that the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that the Bnos Lavcha took the chelik b'chor of their father in the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, because Taka, you're right, that was only ra'ui. It means the stuff that he had in the Midbar, right? In the Midbar, they went around from place to place, and they were pitching tents. So everyone probably had their own tent pegs to pitch their tents. So they got twice as many tent pegs as the other children of Chefer, because so Chefer had these tent pegs that he had, so Tzlavchad was supposed to get twice as much as that, and he did, and that was actually Muchsuk Biad Tzlavchad, and that's the entire Pishnayim that we're talking about, but they didn't actually get Pishnayim of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi asks on Shmuel's Teretz over here, Omer V'dim Shmuel's Teretz, that was B'yis Tzolim, Masav Rabbi. Rabbi said, what are you talking about? It says in the Brisa, Rabbi Yudomer, B'lo Tzlavchad Natlu Arba'a Chalakim. The Brisa was going through all of the chalakim in Eretz Yisrael that the Bnos Lavcha took, and it said that they got four chalakim. Shenemar, because in the pasuk in Yoshua that's talking about dividing up Eretz Yisrael, it's not talking about dividing tent pegs. It says in the pasuk in Yoshua, Shenemar, Vayiplu Chevle Menashe Asara, that we talk about the Nachla of Sheva Menashe being divided into 10. So you see that among those 10 Chelkei Aretz, there were six Mishpachos Pesav of the Bnei Menashe, and there are four chalakim chalakim that Benos Slavcha took. Two of those four chalakim were the nachla of Chefer that he was supposed to get a chalik ba'aretz, and he was marishit to his children. And since Slavcha was the Bukhar, he gets a double portion of that. So that double portion of the Bukhar is talking about an Eretz Yisrael. It's not talking about metaltalin. So we're back to the kasha. How could it be that the Benos Slavcha got a pishnayim that Slavcha was supposed to get? Slavcha never had it. It was never muchzak. It was only ra'oi. And the Bukhar doesn't get pishnayim in ra'oi. He only gets pishnayim in muchzak. So Ella Amar Rabba. Rabba suggests a second answer. Eretz Yisrael muchzak as he. That the Benos Slavcha taka did get pishnayim in Chefer's Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. And even though stam karka that you never saw and you were only destined to one day get is typically only called ra'oi. It's not called muchzak. Not true with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is considered to be muchzak to the Yotzei Mitzrayim because Hashem already gave it to them. And once Hashem gives it to them, it's considered theirs. Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Ve'era, Ve'ivesi eschem el ha'aretz asher nasasi es yadi laseso sa la'avram nitzak li'akov v'nasati osa lachem marasha ani Hashem, that I've already given it to you as Yerusha. So since Chefer was considered muchzak in the Karak of Eretz Yisrael, Tzlavcha got twice as much as his brothers, and that chelek, that double chelek, was passed along to his daughters. So ask the Gemara, wait, this answer doesn't work either. Meisvei, so they ask on Rabba, it says in the Braisa, that Ram Rabbi Chidka, Shimon Hashikmoni Hayali Chaver, Mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva. He was a Chaver from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. V'kach Haya Rabbi Shimon Hashikmoni Omer. So he's basically introducing this person, Shimon Hashikmoni, and saying, oh, and by the way, this is what he said. So it's a little bit of an unusual formulation. The Ben Yoyada points out that why at the beginning did we mention the name Shimon HaShikmoni and then say that Ben Yehuda points out he started out by saying Rabbi Chidka said there was a guy Shimon HaShikmoni Hayli Chaver, and then it says V'kachaya Rabbi Shimon HaShikmoni, or somewhere in between he got Tzmicha. Right, we add the title Rabbi afterwards. So Ben Yoyada explains Rabbi Chidka was a chaver of Rabbi Shimon before he ever got smicha to be a Rabbi, and therefore he said Shimon Hashikmoni Hayli Chaver, and he didn't call him Rabbi, but at the time that they were saying over this teaching in his name, he already got smicha to be a Rabbi, and therefore they called him Rabbi Shimon. So okay, so this was this Rabbi Shimon Hashikmoni said that even though the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what was going to be with the Benos Slavchad, because it says Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpatan Lefnei Hashem, it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that a daughter is Yoresh when there is no son. Yodeya Hayy Moshe Rabbeinu Shemino Slavchad Yorshel Sein. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that much, right? He knew that daughter is Yarshin when there is no son, because when they were in Mara, they were ready in Tzitava Aladinim. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav tells us that they received all the Dine Mamanis, all the halachos of Dine Mamanis when they were in Mara, which was right after they left Mitzrayim, and the Maisa of Benos Slavchad was after that, prior to entering Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, you learn it from the Parsha of Yibum, like the Benos Slavchad themselves were able to learn from the Parsha of Yibum. They didn't come up with some drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't able to learn. Moshe Rabbeinu's question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not, do daughters receive Yerusha when there are no sons? He was well aware of that. What he was not aware, what he's not sure, was whether they're entitled to a chelek b'chora. So the Gemara brings the hemshich of the Braisa and finishes off the kasha. Uruuya ha'isa parshas nachlos likosev al yidei Moshe, and really the Dine Yerusha should have been written through Moshe directly, because the Torah would have had this parsha in it even without the story of the Benos Slavchad. It's not like the Benos Slavchad came and introduced a parsha on their own, that we would have had to have Dinam of Yerusha recorded in the Torah with or without the Benos Slavchad ever complaining. Elisha Zach Benos Slavchad Nichtav Al Yadan, but the Benos Slavchad were zocha to have it written through them. V'yodeo in Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu also was aware. Shamakoshesh, that the Makoshesh that was Mechal Shabbos in the Midbar is b'misa, that he's chayv misa shenemar, because the pasuk says Shmartzim Shabbos ki kodesh hu lachem mechal lehamos yumas. Pasuk says b'ferish that if you're Mechal Shabbos, so one is chayv misa. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu not know, that he had to consult it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly? Avaloi yodeo be'ezo misa hu yamos. He didn't didn't know. Is it skila? Is it chanet? What do you give? A more chamer dikamisa, a more kal dikamisa? So he wasn't sure. And therefore, he had to ask Kodesh Baruch Hu, Uru'uya ha'isa parshas mekoshesh, shetikasev alidei Moshe, and the parsha of mekoshesh, that the mechal v'shabes chayiv skila, should have been written directly through Moshe Rabbeinu, elishen eschayiv mekoshesh menichtava al yado. But because the mekoshesh did something so terrible, this parsha of being chayiv skila was nichtav al yado. So essentially, the benos slavchad, or the dinim that are derived from the benos slavchad and from the mekoshesh, would have been in the Torah anyway. But the benos slavchad were zoche that it happened through them to be written in the Torah, that Yerusha happened to be written in the Torah through them, and the mekoshesh was chayiv to the point that this chayiv misa of mechal shabbos, he became the paradigmatic example of a mechal shabbos who's chayiv misa. And that teaches us a critical lesson. L'lamedcha shemegalgulim zechus al yidei zakai v'chov al yidei chayiv. That good things happen through good people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the vehicle of good people to teach us good things, and that bad things happen through bad people, through people who deserve bad to happen through them. Now, there are other cases where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know in Onesh and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adel, like the parsha of the Mekalel. So the reason that that's not mentioned is because Shimon HaShakmuni holds like the Shita in Shabbos Tav Tzadivav, that the Mekoshesh was Slavchad. So when Rabbi Shimon is bringing the Mice of Bnos Slavchad, the example he brings, this is what the Ritva points out, the example he brings is Dafka, the example of the Mekoshesh, because we're on the topic of this family, so there are members of this family who go down in infamy, and members of this family who are wonderful heroes. So we're highlighting different members of the family. In the Taras Chaim, he says that the reason Rabbi Shimon quotes these two parshios of the Nachlos and the Mekoshesh, and not the parsha of Pesach Sheni, for example, where also the Sifri in Parshas Baalosa says that really that parsha also should have been written Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, El Megalgulin Zuchos Al Yidei Zakai, the people who wanted to bring a Pesach Sheni, because the Parshas Nachlos and the Mekoshesh are comparable to each other, because it said that Moshe Rabbeinu at least knew the Ikar Adin, but there was a detail that he was missing. The Parsha Pesach Sheni, there was nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu apparently, it seems, didn't know anything about Pesach Sheni. He was missing the Ikar Din. And the reason he first mentions Bnos Slavchad and then the Parsha of the Mekoshesh, even though the Parsha of the Mekoshesh is before the Parsha of the Bnos Slavchad, because we always want to be Poseach with Zuchus. And then we'll mention things that are less cheerful. So we start with the Bnos Slavchad. So those are the critical lessons of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach these parshas directly. It came through other people. It is interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure what misa to give the Mekoshesh. Stam misa in the Torah generally is chenek. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. So when the Torah says someone is chayv misa, it's always chenek. So Tosos explains that it didn't make sense to him that a mechal Shabbos, who's ka'ovid avodah zara, right? That mechal Shabbos, which is such a critical thing in Judaism, that someone's mechal Shabbos for Hesia has a din of an akum, that it was only going to be chenek. So therefore, he figured that something was up, and even though generally that's the rule, Moshe Rabbeinu figured he needed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for greater clarity on that. Now, the parsha of the Mekoshesh itself is interesting. Pasuk says, "Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar v'yimtzu ish Mekoshesh eitzim b'yom haShabbos v'yikrivu oso hamotzim oso Mekoshesh eitzim el Moshe v'el har v'el kol ha'eda v'yinichu oso b'mishmar ki lo purash ma ye'asalo." They didn't know what to do with him, so they locked him up. V'yom haShem Moshe mos yibasa ish v'gom oso b'avanim kol ha'eda michutz ha'machna, that everyone should throw stones at him. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara on Daf Tzadivav and Bezin Shabbos. What exactly did he do that was Chil Shabbos? Meaning, picking a piece of wood is Muktza. That's Dindrabban, right? So what exactly did the Mekoshesh Eitzim do that constituted a Malacha on Shabbos? So that's a discussion in the Gemara on Shabbos. And maybe he was Mavir Dalaramas Purushas Rabin, or maybe he violated the Malacha of Ma'amer, that he was piling the wood together. The Yerushalmi says that they found him being Tolesh Eitzim Minakarka, that he was pulling the wood out of the ground. So the Bryce is saying that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to tell Moshe Rabbeinu his din, it's not because he didn't know that he's chayiv misa. He was doing ma'amer or hotza'a or being told he was doing some malacha, kotzer. He was doing some malacha, But he knew he was chayiv misa. He just didn't know which misa. But all of this is to lead up to a kasha on Rabba. Again, Rabba had said that Eretz Yisrael is muchzekes, and that's why the Bnos Slavchad got pishnayim, even though their father never had the land in hand. He never actually occupied that land because it's considered muchzekes. But wait, v'isal kadayt Eretz Yisrael muchzekes. If you can assume Eretz Yisrael is already muchzekes to the Yotzim Mitzrayim, why was Moshe Rabbeinu not sure if the Bnei Slavchad get a pishnayim? Chefer was muchzak, it was not just ra'ui, and since Slavchad was destined to yarshin, not pishnayim, so of course they should get the pishnayim. So says the Gemara, what do you mean? Higufa kamistabkalei. Maybe that was exactly Moshe Rabbeinu's suffik. He wasn't sure whether Eretz Yisrael is considered muchzakas or not, and that's what he was consulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. So the Tzadamar, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says that Hashem said to the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzvah, through Moshe Rabbeinu, so morasha means to be morashit to other people. So the suffix is that like a Yerusha? Yerusha hi lachem me'avoseichem, that it's a Yerusha from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you're muchzuk in it. And melu when the Yotzei Mitzrayim die and are morashit to their children, they're going to get pishnayim. Dilma Shemurishin Veinun Yorishin, or maybe the Lashon Morasha means that the Yotzei Mitzrayim themselves will get will be Morish their chelek to their children, but they themselves were never really Yorishit from their forefathers. Meaning that this ironic thing that they have the ability to be Morish even though they were never Yorish because they themselves never saw it, they never got it, they never lived there. So if that's the case, yeah, there's a Chiddush Akra that they're able to be Morish even though they were never Yorish. But because they were never muksak, it's not going to be pishnayim. The Bechor is not going to get pishnayim in that. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's suffik. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I know the pasuk. I know the pasuk that says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving this as a portion to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. I said the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu was the middleman. He's the one that said over the pasuk to them. I know the pasuk. I'm just not sure what it means. So pashtulei. So Moshe Rabbeinu's suffik was resolved that Travayu Yerusha." That both things, that it's Yerusha Lechem Me'avol Seichem, and therefore they're considered muchzak in it, and the Bechor gets Pishrayim, Umarishin, Veinin Yorshim. And they're going to be Morisha to their children, even though they themselves never actually saw it, because they died in the Midbar, they never got to receive the Yerusha. So both potential understandings of Nasati are true, and therefore there's still going to be a pishnayim. So the Gemara brings another pasuk that tells us that the Yotzei Mitzrayim, where it's a merumas at least, that the Yotzei Mitzrayim themselves didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, were not going to enter Eretz Yisrael before there was a beferush gzeira to this extent. V'hainu d'chsiv, the lashna morasha, that the Yotzei Mitzrayim were not yorish Eretz Yisrael, but they will be able to be morish to their children. V'hainu d'chsiv, that's what the pasuk means already back at Oz Yashir, when Bnei Yisrael sang at Kriyas Yamsuf, Tivyemo v'siteemo bahar nachaloscha, Tivyenu lonemar. It doesn't say that Hashem is going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, even though the gzeru was not yet made that they were not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. This was a week after Yitzias Mitzrayim. This was at Kriyas Yamsuf. They were all expecting to march right in. So it should have said, Tivyenu, you're going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Ela Tivyemo. Tivyemo implies that Hashem is going to bring others into Eretz Yisrael. Not we ourselves, not personally to bring us. Malamit shemisnabin v'nyodma misnabin. This was a nevuah. Raso shivchalayama shalorai cheskel ben buzi ben nevuaso. Everyone at that time was experiencing nevuah, and they said a nevuah, but they didn't even understand the nevuah that they were saying. They were saying a nevuah that they were not going to end up in Eretz Yisrael, even though the gezerah had not yet been made. Right? This is a question of hashkacha versus bechira. Right? That it already existed. There was already such a nevuah, but didn't they have the Bechira not to commit the Chedem Meraglim, not to do these Averas? Okay, so that's a difficult question in general in life. Okay, so now the Gemara goes through some of the details of the story of Miroslav Chavat Hamon Levnei Moshe Levnei Elazar Hakohen Levnei Nesiim V'chol Eida. So the pasuk sounds like they first came to Moshe and then they went to Elazar Hakohen and the Nesiim and Chol Eida. So Efshar Amdu Levnei Moshe V'lo Amar Lehen Davar. Could it be that they went to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer. He didn't respond. V'Amdu Levnei Nesiim V'chol Eida. And then they went to ask the same shaila to Nesiim and Chol Eida. Moshe didn't know. The people beneath him aren't going to know. Ella Saras Hamikra V'Darshei. We have to flip around the pasuk in order to darshan it properly. That first they stood in front of the Eda, and then the Nesiim, and then Elazar, and then they worked their way up to Moshe Rabbeinu, the highest court in the land. So the Torah says their names based on the Lashon of the Chashivos, not based on the order that it actually happened. So in Chashivos, it starts with Moshe and goes down, but in order that it actually happened, they built up to Moshe Rabbeinu. Div Rabbi Yoshia. Abachan Amr Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Beveis HaMedrash Hayu Yoshvin, that they were sitting in the base of Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar, and the Nesiim, the Eda, and they were saying in front of all of them at the same time. So it wasn't a Seder Advarim, it was in the Beis Medrash. They gave a clap on the Bima, right? Daughters of Slavchan march into the Beis Medrash, a clap on the Bima, Tamidei Chachamim, we need your help. So, B'maika Mifki, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Marsav, Rabbi Eliezer, who says that they asked all of them at the same time, Cholkin Kavod Talmud Makom Merav, hold that you're allowed to give Kavod to a Talmud, even in front of the Rebbe, because it's a Chashiv to the Rebbe to give kavod to his Talmidim. That if the Talmidim deserves such kavod and he's the Rebbe, that's a chashivus to him. And Mar Savrein Chalk, and the other one says, no, it's not Derech Eretz. If the Rebbe is there, you got to give the chashivus to the Rebbe. You got to go straight to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't just pose the question to all of them. The Hilchasa Chalk and Vilchasa Ein Chalk. And the halach is that we are Cholik kavod the Talmud Makom Rav, and also that we're not Cholik kavod the Talmud Makom Rav. Says Gemara, Kash Hilchasa Hilchasa. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. How could they both be true? Say hilchsa hilchsa lo kasha. Had the palugle rabbi yakra. When we said that we do give cover to a Talmud b'makom harav, that's when the rav himself is chalik cover to the Talmud. So he wants others to be chalik cover to the Talmud as well. Had the lo palugle rabbi yakra. And when we said that a morein chalkin cover the Talmud b'makom harav, it's when the rav himself is not giving cover to the Talmud, and therefore it would be a gnai that if the rav is not giving cover to the Talmud, then others are going to give cover to the Talmud in the place of the Rav. And Moshe Rabbeinu was chalik kavod to all of Klal Yisrael, and Eliezer to the Nesiim, and Nesiim to the Eda. That's what the Rashbam points out, and therefore it was perfectly fine to be chalik kavod to everybody in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. How was Moshe Rabbeinu chalik kavod to Eliezer? So the Adrama writes, he appointed Eliezer as a Kohen Gadol, and those people as the Nesiim, and those as the Sanhedrin. So it sounds like the Machlokas Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Lazar is in such a case that the Rav is cholik lo kavod. Tosos from Sechas Sota writes that the machlokas is whether the Rav is cholik lo kavod, whether he's not cholik lo kavod. It's just that the Gemara is machriya in one direction when the Rav is cholik lo kavod, and the other direction when the Rav is not cholik lo kavod. That wasn't part of the machlokas, was in all cases, but this is halacha kedivrei machriya. The Gemara is paskening that it's not binary, that one is not fully right and the other opinion fully wrong, that there are certain circumstances where we paskin one way, other circumstances where we paskin the other way. Satan ibn Oslavchad, Chachmanios Hain, Darshanios Hain, Sidkanios Hain. Three qualities of the ibn Oslavchad. They were Chachmanios, Darshanios, and Sidkanios. Chachmanios Hain, Shalafi Shah Dibru, that they spoke at the proper time when they found an opening. Dam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Malami Chay, Moshe Rabbeinu Yoshev Dorish, Parshas Yivamin. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Chaz Yibam Shnemar, because the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, and it says, and if one of them dies, he doesn't have any children, and you do Yibam. So he said, Ven Ein Lo, and with a Yud, not Ein Aleph Nun, as if it says Ayena love, that you have to check to see if he has any offspring. So Amr Lo, the Bnoslavcha said, well, wait a second, me man of Shach. Im keben anu chashuvim, if having any offspring is like having a son, then we should get a Yerusha like a ben. Vim love, and if having daughters is not like having a son, tisyabi mimenu, then our mother should need Yibum. So Miyad Ve'akam Moshe is Mishpat Le Hashem. That was a very clever drasha. So they right away, Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Shaila Tashem. Darshanios Hain. How do I know that they are Darshanios? Shayu Omros, Ilu Hayo Ben Lo Dibarnu. If our father would have had a son, we would not have been Toveah, Chelik in the Yerusha, because it says Uven Einlo, and only then Vavartam Asnach Lasalabito. So it doesn't say in the Torah what the din of Yerusha is when you have both a son and a daughter, but they understood that the din would be that they wouldn't be entitled to anything. So it's only, they're only asking Lama Yigara because their father didn't have any sons. So that's more of a Tanya Bas, but the Brisa says that the Melech Slavcha said, if he had a Bas, we would not have spoken. Sami Mikan Bas. No, obviously he did have a Bas, and therefore that erased the word Bas from the Brisa. The Brisa should say, Ilu Hailo Ben Lo Dibarnu, that if he would have had a son, we would not have said anything. So next, the Gemara brings Abaye Amar Afilu Haya Bas Leben Lo Dibarnu. No, you keep the word Bas. What they were saying is, even if our father had a son, and that son only had a daughter, we would not have said anything, because that daughter would have gotten all the Yerusha through her father. But he didn't have any sons. And then how do we know Tzitkan Yosein? Shal Nisu Elu Lahagul Nahen, that they only married people who were appropriate to them. They married people from their own Shevet, because their B'nai Shevet were the most appropriate for them. So that's how we see that the Melech Slavchan had all of these three qualities. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with another Brisa about the Benos Tzlavchan. Everyone have a wonderful day and a good morning.